Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate it this morning. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah today. Kind of keep your finger on the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and I may go to Luke chapter 13 this morning, but most importantly, I want you to come here with me this morning and just want to share with you a few things that's in my heart today. I thought I was done with talking about fruitfulness, and Wednesday night I ministered on the life that we now live and the faith that we have. And it's interesting is that my spirit was really stirred this week about some things. And what it was primarily stirred about was how that we live in a time to where many folks are going through a time of barrenness in their lives. They've been a part of church for years, and many people sacrificed, gave everything they had to that work, whichever it is. But then they said something that was very striking to me in the sense that they said, you know, we gave everything we had, but now we are cautious about how we participate. We don't feel, and here were the words, we don't feel the same way as what we used to. And I thought to myself, so often we have blamed the devil, and we have said that it's his fault. He's the one who did this. And I can't get away from this thought because it keeps coming back up in my spirit again. I really travailed this weekend about those things. And I began to just re-clarify some things in my life of how often we give all the glory. We give more glory to the devil than we do to God sometimes. We give more glory to him about, sometimes it seems like he's more active in our life than God is. Amen? Now, this person wasn't saying it was necessarily the devil. I'm just telling you what it said, and it stirred my heart, and I think it was necessary to stir my heart. Of how that God is a sovereign God in my life. And when I declare that God is a sovereign God in my life, that means that God is in control of my life. I think if any book displays that, it's the book of Job. I mean, in some ways, it seems to be a book of that's a dichotomy of number one, why would God let, you know, Satan come into his life? But, and I've heard people say is that well, if it's God couldn't be in that because he's a God of love, and the God I know wouldn't let those things happen. And I got to thinking, how do we really know what the love of God is? We know a portion of his love. We're just now discovering what love is, and the truth of it is that we really don't know the depths of the love of God. And sometimes that's why I think that we become dismayed, why we become disenchanted and disenfranchised, and somebody comes along with a little bit of a doctrine, and that doctrine seems to make logical sense to us, but yet it never changes anything on the inside of us. It never changes our life. And so the more that I got to meditating on this, I realized is that God is a sovereign God, and that it's not us who are in control, and we definitely know the devil is not in control. It doesn't mean that the devil's not doing junk. How many hears what I'm saying to you? It's not that he is not doing junk. It's not that he is not messing with my life and messing with the things of my life. But the devil's not in control of my life. I said, the devil's not in control of my life. He was in control of my life because I lived according to the dictates of my heart. And he was the god of this world. And he blinded my mind in the darkness I was in. But he's not in control of my life. The power that is there, because we know, according to Colossians, that Jesus brought him out and made an open shame of him. Amen. And declared that he has no power over me. The only power he has is the power of intimidation. That's why that if you feel anything, if anything is going on in your life, if there's any kind of intimidation, if there is fear, you're wondering why this barrenness, why this unfruitful place in my life. It's not that I hate God. Come on, somebody help me. It's not that I hate God. I really don't hate church. It's like, really, I'm just de-interested. Is that a correct word? I don't know if that's even correct. Is that correct English? Huh? It should be disinterested, not de. It's been clarified by the expert in the church. Disinterested. And I thought, man, it's easy. It would be easy to get over into condemnation. Amen? It would be easy to bring condemnation and correction to people. But then you're having to correct possibly of what God is trying to do in somebody's life. Because I contend that much of what's going on in your life and in our lives is God trying to deal with those issues. Because whatever was going on before, whatever was going on in our life before, no matter how glorious it was, oh, I produced this fruit, I was this, I was that, no matter how glorious it was, that day is not sufficient for the day that I live in right now. No matter what it is. No matter how many miracles that I've had. And even though I've seen people healed of cancer, and I've seen the deaf healed, and I've seen God do marvelous and extraordinary things and there, but how many knows that now we're living in a time to where that families are destroyed and churches are being destroyed and lives are being destroyed and we're asking God, what is going on here? And at the same time, I'm just really not that interested in church. In fact, a lot of times I'm really not even that interested in God. Oh, my word. It's like living with somebody in the house and you're married, but you're not married. You're married, but you're really not interested anymore. Oh, you don't even know what I'm talking about this morning. I'm standing up here all by myself. You're married. You've made that covenant and you've been together. You've paid bills. You've cleaned houses. You've bought and sold houses. And you've been through the hard times. You've been through the difficult times. And you've been through all the rough times. Come on, somebody help me this morning. You've been through all those times and you've been through sickness. And you remember the vows in sickness and in health and good times and bad times. When I'm poor, we remember when we were poor. But now we got a little bit of money and we remember those days. And it's there. And it's not that we hate each other. It's not that we dislike each other. But how many knows when you've gone through the battle and you've walked through the time, the interest is not there like it is before. And I'm here to tell you today that God's given me a word for you today that it's not the devil at work in your life. God has not forgotten you and God has not forsaken you and God knows exactly where you're at. That is the thing that you need to know today. God's not lost track of you. God's got an eternal GPS on the inside of you. It's His Holy Spirit. And He has not lost track of one iota, of one minute second of your life. God knows your beginning from your end. God knows your bad from your good. God knows your ugly and your beauty. God knows everything about your life. God knows where you're at. God knows who you are. God has not forgotten you. And even though it seems. Say, well, Pastor, I have to tell you, I sing and raise my hands and, I smile, but it's not there on the inside like it used to be. Oh, help me. I know some of you are scared. Somebody's going to think it's you. But see, I've been there. I've been there. I've come to church and been madder when I left than when I came. Hello. I've been more irritated and more discouraged after I left church than when I got in church. Oh, somebody don't even want to hear this morning. Somebody don't even want to hear this message today. This message ain't for everybody. This is a message for people who have walked some of the walk. This message is for those who have traveled some miles. This message is for some who have got some battle scars on their life. This is for somebody who knows what it is to beat in the heat of the battle. This message is for somebody who has never given up. Even though you wanted to give up, you kept moving forward. You kept singing the song. You kept doing what was right. This is what this message is for today. Well, this message ain't for no babies this morning. This ain't for nobody who ain't been through nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Somebody who has got some dirt under their fingernails. Who have got some backs that are worn because of the weight and the load that they've had to carry through life. They know what it is to walk in worry and fear. But know that God has always been on time. But yet now, I'm in a barren time of my life. I'm in a time to where everything seems to be empty. And sometimes, Pastor, it seems that God has forsaken me. My prayers seem ineffective. My spirit seems cold. Oh, but Pastor, I don't know what else to do. I just keep putting one foot in front of the other. I just keep putting one foot. I'm holding on. I'm holding on to one promise. I'm holding on to the word of the Lord. See, this is about folks who know that God has come through for them many times. This message is for those who have realized that God is God. But even in all the miracles, even in all the power, Elijah became weary and frightful in well-doing. Are you hearing me? He had barely got the blood washed off of his hands of killing the 400 false prophets. Are you hearing me? His body still ached in swinging the sword and killing all of that abomination that was in Israel. He just saw God lick up, amen, that miracle on Mount Carmel and saw God come through. He saw the nation of Israel turn from idolatry and leaning into their own ways and turn themselves back to God. But you got to understand something. What has brought on this time in your life is because God is trying to bring something into your life. God's trying to do something in your life. God's trying to perform something in your life. And I know it doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't feel that way. I know right now everything in you is so dry. You feel like a big old dust bowl. You feel like everything's about ready to blow away. But I'm here to tell you today that God has not forsaken you. And God has not forgotten you. And God has a word for you today. And that word is sing. Sing, O barren. Because God is going to bring forth a birthing in your life. This message is for, as I sought out God, and God said, there's coming a turning, but it's going to come for those who keep moving towards the promise. Amen? Well, I want feeling, Pastor. Well, feelings is something that is great to have. Amen? Amen. I love a move of God. I love to walk by faith, but I love it when God Spirit falls upon me and shakes me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But I've realized also is I can't live by feelings. I have to live by faith. See, and the more I walk this out, the more I have to live by faith. God spoke to me a couple things. I want to share with him with those things with you this morning before I get too ahead of myself. In Isaiah chapter 54, how many hears the word this morning? In Isaiah 54, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. How many are glad that God has not forgotten us? Let me say something to you. I'm going to give you a major key this morning. If you don't remember anything else, remember this key. It will be the key to your deliverance. Almost every time, 9 times out of 10, this will be your deliverance. Look at it. Sing, O barren. You don't got no reason to sing. I'm barren. What would I be singing about? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Everybody take your hand, pointing towards your mouth. Said, this is the key to my deliverance. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. And I guarantee you, you'll walk further in a deeper, drier, darker place than you are now. Because the only thing that's going to take you out is praise. The only thing. You've got to open your mouth. I said, you've got to open your mouth. I said, you've got to open your mouth. Some of us, it's easy to do. How you hear what I'm saying to you? Some of us, it's easy to open our mouth. Some of us are verbal people. But I understand that when depression comes upon some of us and when that darkness overshadows us, how many knows what I'm talking about? When that time to where that you lack understanding, I don't know about you, but for myself, I begin to internalize. I will pull within myself. And then what happens? I get quiet. And then I won't talk. I won't say anything. In one aspect, that's a good trait to have. But how many knows that's not the key to my deliverance? That's not the key to my freedom. You see, the enemy there wants you. He wants to take advantage. See, the enemy is an opportunist, if you will, please. He knows what's going on in your life. So he's going to agitate and he's going to take advantage of any situation that he can, even though that it's God working in your life. See, I declare one thing that God is trying to teach some of us is how not to praise him when everything is going great. But see, some of us need a song of barrenness. We need to be able to sing when we are in our barren time. We need to have a song that was born in the desert. We need to have a song that was born in our trouble, in our pain. If you don't have a song that was born in your trial, then you don't really have a praise yet. But when you have a praise that's been born out of the hurt, the pain, the darkness, the dryness in your life, that becomes your praise. Oh, somebody help me today. See, it's not really my praise. It's easy to praise. Amen? Somebody hand you $1,000 check. It's easy. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Lord. Amen? Somebody hand you $1,000 check. And you just feel a lightness all over. Oh, glory. I think I'm going to go out in the spirit here. But when somebody asks you for $1,000... they're like, but don't you have nothing to say? Because you know you don't want anything to come out of your mouth like, well, I'll try to get it to you, or, yeah, sure, I'll help you. I mean, here's what I'm saying to you. It's amazing, isn't it? That when you're in a place to where something is required of you, how heavy your tongue gets. See, that's what fear does. Fear will shut you down. You know why the enemy brings fear to our life? He brings fear to our life because he knows that God has something extraordinary in place for you. Why else would he? Why? Let me ask you something. Why would he even bother with you? He knows that you're going through a time of barrenness. He knows that you are trying to figure this whole thing out. He knows you're trying to find an answer to your life. And at that moment, he comes to try to afflict your life, to make you doubt that God is in control of your life. You see, in that time with Job, the enemy made sure it wasn't him. But what he did is he had Job's friends come along. Woo! Are you hearing me? It wasn't the devil appearing to Job. No, he sent his friends. He piled on everything. But then he sent Job's comforters to him to confirm how he must be in sin or these things wouldn't be happening in his life. I find it interesting that the very thing that was happening in Job's life was God's will for Job at that time. Hello? Oh, Pastor, I've heard messages where it really wasn't God's will. Well, I don't know how much plainer you can get when God says, get him. But I know he won't deny me. Are you hearing me? Can I tell you something, what you miss in the book of Job? You miss this point. God does not allow anything to come into your life that he doesn't already have the solution for. I'm going to give you something hard today. How many are ready for just a little bit of a meat? Amen? Just a bite this morning. But I want you to understand is that he's the sovereign God. You're telling me that God did not know the beginning from the end. He knew when he created Adam that within Adam, that Adam and that nature was there to fail. Why? Because he had the nature of man. He was procreated in the image of God. But I want you to understand today is this, that God created Adam so that he could procreate because he knew that there would come a failing in his life. But God already created the answer for Adam when he caused the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Before he created Adam, the lamb was already there being slain for the answer for Job's life, for Adam's life, and for your life. I want you to know today is this. God has not allowed anything to come into your life except for one reason, and that is to bless your life. Right now, it may not seem like a blessing. That's why you've got to open your mouth. That's why you've got to sing. Even though you don't feel like singing, you've got to sing. It's not just singing. It's not just la, 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 la. It's not just Mary had a little lamb. This is your song. I said, it's your song. I want you to hear it today. He said, single barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. Look what he says here. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. You say, why, Pastor? Well, I think it's very simple here. Because what God is demonstrating to us here is this. One promise that God wants to birth in your life will bring forth more spiritual children than all the works of your flesh and all your efforts. But I want you to notice something here. The thing that's going to bring forth this child in your life, this thing that's going to bring forth the promise of God in your life, is not your silence. I understand how difficult it is. I understand how it is. But you're going to have to open up your mouth. This is not just any song. This is a prophetic song. This is a song declaring that God has not forsaken me. That you are singing the opposite of what you are. How can somebody is not saying, oh, it's good to be barren without any children. And I'm so glad that I'm sad and I'm unhappy most of the time. somebody's asking them to sing. It's not what He's asking you to sing. What He's asking you to sing is a song declaring that I know that my God lives on the inside of me. And He is my Father, He is my husband, and I am His bride. And I know that what I'm walking through and the barrenness that I'm in is not God's plan for my life. Lord, I thank You for the children, for the spiritual children. I thank You that I'm pregnant, oh God. I thank You that I'm going to give birth, oh God, that I'm not going to die childless. I'm not going to die without fruit. But as long as your mouth stays closed, your life stays closed. Turn to somebody and tell them, as long as my mouth stays closed, my victory stays closed. Turn with me real quick to Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, I want you to see the process. Now, I understand this has a significance for the nation of Israel. But I'm drawing a parallel out of this scripture, out of Isaiah 54 and verse 1. And I'm hoping I can tie this together by the grace of God. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Somebody say, this was always God's purpose to plant me. God chose me. Are you hearing me? God chose you. You are not an accident. This is not a by chance thing. Are you hearing me? God chose me. Come on, I want you to say it. God chose me. God chose me for a specific purpose. Amen? How many today believe that God wants us to be fruitful? Amen? God wants us to be productive. But we have to be careful about our definition of fruitfulness. Because sometimes we believe that busyness is fruitfulness, and busyness is not always fruitfulness. Amen. Some people can look like they're doing a lot. Did you ever work a job to where as long as you look busy, everybody thought you were working? Amen. How many hears what I'm saying to you? Are you listening to me? But busyness doesn't mean that you're being productive. But how many knows that God wants us to be fruitful? Amen. I say God wants us to be fruitful. Look at here. He says, and the fig tree that he planted in the vineyard, and he came and sought the fruit tree thereon, and found none there. There was no fruit on the tree. Are you hearing me? Everybody say there was no fruit on the tree. He planted the tree, but there's no fruit. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. How many years? 3 years. And again, you can see the significance here of Jesus' ministry as he was there on the earth. That's what he's talking about here. But at the same time, I want you to see something, that he comes and there's no fruit. Now, I want you to notice something here. It's significant that you understand the principle of God, the heart of God. Then he said unto the dresser in the vineyard, behold, 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Look, cut it down. Why cumbereth in the ground? Why have it here if it's not going to produce fruit? But God reveals to us a principle here in verse 8. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone. This year also, he said, I'm going to till and dig about it and done it. Is that what your Bible says? And if it bear fruit, well, and if it not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I got to thinking about this. And I thought, what had happened to this fig tree is it was no longer able to receive water and nutrients to it. And so the tree and the ground around the tree became hard. Are you hearing me? And the dresser here knew it. He knew that if the tree stayed in this position, it would never produce fruit. It would never be fruitful in its life. What causes it? Well, whatever causes it can be for a litany of reasons why the tree came to that place. We know that Israel came to that place because that it preferred traditions over the life of God. It preferred traditions over the faith of God. It produced itself and brought itself that it was encumbered by its own traditions. It became a wineskin that was dry and that was broken and that was brittle, and it could no longer sustain any new wine in it. Are you hearing me? So it became a tree, and in it, it was no longer producing. It was like these trees right here. It had leaves on it. You remember the story of Jesus coming from the temple, and he saw the fig tree, and he saw far off that there was leaves on it. But when he got there, there was no fruit on it. I said, well, how can a tree have leaves without no fruit? And how that can happen is this, is that there can be branches that can be attached to the vine that is only on the surface. Are you hearing me? And you can cut all the way around that limb and it'll just come off because it's not ingrained. It has not become a part of the vine itself. But that's not what I'm talking about today. And I'm not talking about people who have surface relationships. I'm talking about folks who have a real relationship with God, who know God in a personal and a deep way. And I want you to know that many of you are like this fig tree. Many of you have found yourself in it. And you have come here and you've heard the message of hope. But what is the process here? Well, the process here is not using a hammer to break up fallow ground. How many knows you cannot use a blunt instrument to break up hard ground? Because what happens when you use a hammer? It just becomes flatter and harder. That's all it does. All you do is pack the dirt tighter. So the more you preach condemnation, the more you preach law, what happens? You get tighter and drier. Come on, everybody say tighter and drier. So what's going to bring life to me? Well, look what it says here. He said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to dig around it. Amen? Everybody say, dig around it. There's only one way to dig it. Amen? Do you dig it? The only way you dig it is with a sharp instrument. Hello? I said, a sharp instrument breaking up the fallowed ground. How's it going to happen, Pastor? Well, here's how it's going to happen. Well, first of all, God's going to use it. He's going to dig up the fallow ground and break it in our life. But what God is going to do is that He's going to have to bring some dung in our life. Come on now, I'm being nice. Don't push me over to that edge because you know I'll go there. You can't figure out why is all this dung happening in my life. Hello? Oh, come on, don't even sit there and look at me like you some holier-than-thou, you know, old Pentecostal saint of God. I say my mother wouldn't say it if her mouth was filled with it. Amen? But how many knows that the only way you're going to get that tree to grow is that you're going to have to break up the fallow ground around it, and God's going to use any sharp instrument that He needs to begin to break up the ground around that tree. But breaking up the ground around the tree is not sufficient in itself. What God's going to have to do is that God's going to bring some stuff in your life. God's going to allow some dung to come to your life. And what you think stinks in your life. Hello? The things that you think stinks. It stinks feeling this way. It stinks being in this position. It stinks. That person stinks. They're stinking up my life. This financial situation in my life, it is stinking up my life. It is a stinking situation. But what I'm here to tell you is whatever is going on in your life, God has sent something to your life to bring something that's going to fertilize and it's going to cause your soul to be enriched so that you can begin to grow again. And the thing that you're cursing, you need to begin to open up your mouth and sing, O barren. Not complain. We already know how to do that. We already got a master's in complaining. In a negativity. I don't even want to raise your hand. I don't even want you to. But I know for me. Man, when stuff starts, look, I can't even afford to say one thing. If I say one thing, it's a slippery slope. Baby, it's on after that. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm ready to go out to the street. I'm ready to kick this thing in gear. I'm ready to get it on. Once I go there, man, all hell breaks loose. I mean, everything about me, all the ugliness, all the darkness. That's why I know I cannot afford to go to that place. But I know this, that whatever is going on in my life, the God that I serve, the sovereign God I serve, knows exactly what's going on in my life. And He has brought it to bring something, to break up the fallow ground in my life. And the dung that's there is only to fertilize my life. Well, I want to be fruitful. Then you're going to have to be open for some cutting and digging. You know, Pastor, I don't think I like this message. Well, I didn't either when God spoke it to me first before I spoke it to you. Well, see, Pastor, I think we should have a vote how God deals with our life. I mean, you know, I think if God, because if God was a God of love, He wouldn't use this. This is not even faith that's going on in my life. And the stuff that's there, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Let me tell you something. It's a false misconception thinking that you're in faith. And just because you're being abased right now, or you're going through a hard time, and it looks like you don't have nothing, and it looks like your life is a failure, and it looks like your life is on the downslope, I want you to know that doesn't mean you're not in faith. That doesn't mean the seed of faith is not on the inside of you. Don't be deceived, and don't you let anybody else be deceived. The only way you change that misconception is when somebody begins to think that. Open your mouth and begin to praise God in the midst of your difficult situation. Let God have a praise. Let God have a thank offering in your life. And let the world know, this is who I am. And all the time, God using that sharp instrument to dig around your life. Here's the problem. I didn't want to mention it. Well, I did. I just wanted to wait for the right time to say it. But the problem was digging. Sometimes you dig things up. That you thought was buried. But you got to realize some of those things are poisoning the soil of your life. Something else too. As those things are being dug up, And as the sod is being turned over, because the rain, as long as the soil is hard, it cannot absorb the rain. It can't absorb the Spirit of God. See, the top part of that has become hard and crusted. And I can tell you, for a while, that plant or that tree is going to look healthy. But after a while, you can tell. See, you can tell. You're not blooming like you used to bloom. Well, there's a reason why. Because God don't want you to bloom like you bloomed before. God wants to bring something new to your life. If you're not careful, you'll stay stunted and small the rest of your life. You'll stay confined within that small place of religion and never experience the glory and the power of God. You may think that the area that you live in is controlled, but you've realized now that everything that you've tried to control, everything that you've done, all that's done, it has made your life hard and difficult to receive the rain of God. But God says something to you today. You're mine. I chose you and planted you. You're mine. Well, God's got to have my permission to... No, He don't. Your history. You've been bought with a price. Are you hearing me? And so God's going to send whatever sharp instrument into your life to break up the fallow ground in your life so that you can begin to receive. And guess what? Once He begins to break up the stuff in your life, then you know what? Here comes the dung. Everybody say, see, you can say this. This is a Bible word. Here comes the dung. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen? How many knows what I'm talking about today? All that stuff that's unwanted, the stuff that stinks. Amen? Amen. I had a friend over 40 years, brother. This friend walked with me in some of the most difficult places of my life. I knew everything about this man. Everything. Everything. We used to sit and talk for hours. We knew everything about each other. We had walked through the most sorrowful times and the best of times. But here was the problem. He was always jealous. Instead of accepting who he was, he wanted my attribute. Well, you can't be me. And I definitely didn't want to be him. But he kept thinking, because of his paranoia, that I wanted what he had. And I remember looking at him one day and I said, do I look like I'm crazy? Is stupid written across my forehead? I know this better than you do, and I know these people better than you do. And I can tell you this, I don't want them. They're not mine. Why would I take a house of children, you know, of misfits, of serious behavioral issues, inconsistency, the inability to stay out of sin, and I'm craving them? Really? Do I look perverted? Don't answer that. And this man betrayed me. Like that. God used a sharp instrument to break up the fallow ground of my life. Was it fun, Mary? No. Did it hurt? Yes. Did it embarrass me? Yes. Was I full of resentment at first? Yes. Was I filled with, God, why would you allow this to happen to my life? And this is what God said to me. I want you to sing. The first thing out of my mouth as I stood in the emergency room, standing over the body of my son who had been killed. People were weeping and crying. The doctors were standing there. And I remember the only thing I could think to do was I lifted my hands and I said, I offer the sacrifice unto you. You are the Lord of glory. In the worst time of my life, in those times when all the dung and the trash had come on me, when we think, how could God let this come? Why have I been betrayed? Why have I been lied on? Why has this come to my life? God, I don't want to be here. And I'm here to tell you something. Just like he told Israel in Isaiah chapter 30, I believe, around the verse 15. And they were struggling, trying to find answers and security for themselves. Let me read it to you. Can I read it to you? In Isaiah, look here with me real quick. In Isaiah chapter 30. They decided instead of seeking God for counsel, they were going to seek Egypt for their security and for their counsel. And God said to them, look. In verse 7 he says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to set still. See, there are some things you can't do. I need to point out to you, according to, is not to produce fruit. That's not what the Bible says. The bear fruit. Bearing and producing is two different things. Ben, as you've been trying to produce instead of... Is it you've been so busy trying to produce Christianity out of your life? What you think other people think you should be instead of being what that bears fruit and has learned that you cannot do this on your own. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and residence shall be your strength. Look what it says. In quietness and in confidence that God is doing this. But look what he said about them. And what happened to them, Barton? They were destroyed. It's not in the arm of flesh. It's not in anything else. Faith message, and I'm telling you, this is the best faith message you've ever heard. That what God is doing for you right now is an extraordinary thing. In that sharp instrument to break up the fallow ground, to bring the humility of trying to do this myself. See, some, they think quitting is giving up. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying, God, I'm trying to do this myself. And what is this barrenness? Because I know you haven't forgotten me. In John 15, he tells us the word prune. Look at somebody and say this. Pruning is not pun. A word there means to cleanse. To cleanse what, Pastor? To cleanse the life from you. That is another way that God brings fruitfulness to our life. He causes those limbs to be cut off. Are you hearing me? We see those things being removed from our life and we're reaching out to try to get a hold of them, to try to bring back into our life again. if something is leaving and it did nothing but suck the life of God from you, why are you trying to hold on to it? Go and let God do the finished work in your life today. Yes. Yes. That's God speaking to you. Now say, come on. Father, let God finish the work of all that He is doing. The faith walk, the Bible there in John 15 says that He is pruning and purging, cleansing. What you see as barrenness, come on now, what you see as preparedness, God is preparing you. When's it going to happen? When you quit asking when it's going to happen and accept that God's grace is with you now, that if you keep trying to live in your strength, you keep trying to produce it, you think you, and I'm saying to you is this, is that whatever yesterday was, it isn't sufficient for us greater. God's trying to give us something more profound, but it can only sustain in Jesus' name. Come on. Take somebody's hand beside you right now. Somebody.
You are welcome. Come
on. Yes, Father.
Come flood my spirit. Your glory, God, be overcome by your great spirit. You are welcome.
Yes, Father.
Come flood this place and fill the glory. God is what our hearts long for. Let us become more aware to experience the glory of your good, aware of your presence. Let us become.